Well, this morning's sermon is another one of those that seems self-evident. And, as I've said before, there's nothing wrong with us going, looking at things we know already. The lectionary takes us through various texts so we can review things that we do know. And it's not that we think we know them, we do know them. But the fact that you know something doesn't mean that you can't look at it again, doesn't mean you can think it through or think about it. I'm sure I've told you the story before, but we don't want to be the kind of people like the man when he got married. At the conclusion of the wedding ceremony, turned to his wife and said, "I love you, I'll let you know if anything changes." Of course not. I tell Heather I love her a lot. She knows that already, but frequently I tell her that. We do it a lot when we're sending instant messages or texting back and forth because you lose all the nuances. But you don't need much of a nuance when somebody says, "I love you." You just know. And it's a nice reminder. It's not a sudden discovery that, oh, hey, she loves me, or he loves me. It's a reminder of what we already know. And that's often a good thing. And this morning, you would think that a sermon title like "Our Faith Comes From Somewhere" is almost a waste of ink. Of course it comes from somewhere. Everything comes from somewhere. I mean, once God created everything out of nothing, ever since then, everything has come from somewhere. That's just the way it is. So why do we even have to talk about it? Well, because sometimes we forget. Or at least, if we're not careful, we will live our lives as if faith just started with us. Not that other people haven't had it, but it just sort of sprang alive within us and it didn't really come from anywhere. And I suspect for some people, a very, very small group of people, that is true. But for most of us, our experience is much closer to that of Timothy. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, is Paul's letter to Timothy. And verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1 is one that I have always really enjoyed. "I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Timothy's faith didn't come from nowhere. And what's more, Timothy's faith didn't come from his own generation. I mean, one of the ongoing frustrations of anybody who has anything to do with, I was going to say people younger than them, but hopefully by the time you reach a certain age, it doesn't count particularly anymore. But when you're dealing with, oh, let's just call them adolescents, starting somewhere around 12, 13, finishing somewhere around 23, 24, 25, have you ever noticed that for all of them, they're the first people who have discovered everything? It's more than a little tiresome to have your children or your children's friends or just people of that age say, "Oh, well, you wouldn't understand whatever it is." Say, "Why wouldn't I understand that?" "Well, because." "Well, no, there is no because. I understand that because it was exactly the same when I was that age." "Oh, you wouldn't understand because you're a parent." "Well, where do you think I came from? I had parents who didn't understand too." At least that's what I thought. The older I got, the more I realized that, oh, they understood everything. And they knew and noticed a lot more than I thought they did, too. And let me live in the illusion of getting away with things sometimes. But it's easy for us to think that our generation has discovered things for the first time. And some we have. They tend to be mechanical things, like the generation that discovered how to fly and that sort of thing. Interactions with people that we think we've discovered. No, not really. This is the way it's been at many times in the past. Those group of people in the 60s who thought they discovered free love. I've got news for you. Have you ever looked at the Renaissance? Have you ever looked at a number of eras of history that would make yours look like you're a bunch of prudes? Things have happened before, and they've come from somewhere. And if we forget they've come from somewhere, we do ourselves a disservice, and we do the people who gave them to us a disservice as well. What Paul is telling Timothy, among other things, is just remember the fact that you have a heritage, that the faith that's in you started somewhere and came to you. And the faith within you grew because of that and arose because of that. As I said, some people seem to are sought out by the Holy Spirit and come to faith in a way that you can't see any human connection with that at all. But they're very, very rare. Most of us can look to the people who are older than us and say, oh yeah, that's why I think that way about God. Or that's where I first saw this way of relating. I saw my parents doing things that created an environment of faith eventually within me. Not because they got up in the morning and thought, now what can we do today that will demonstrate to our children that we are people of faith in a way that they will someday want to be the same. No, they woke up in the morning and they did what they did because they were people of faith. And I observed this. And I saw things about them and I saw things about God so that when they talked about them, when they did, it made sense. They were coherent. They were in congruence with their words and their behaviors. Not with perfection, of course. They made mistakes like we all do. But it gave me something to look back on. And when I look at my faith as going back through my parents, to some of their parents, and going back and back and back, it gives me the sense that what I believe in has some solidity. It's something I can depend on. It's gone back for a long way because it's been sensible, because it has done what people say it would. Our faith comes from somewhere, and it's important for us to have some idea where that somewhere is. We may or may not be able to put our finger on particular people, but I suspect most of us can. And Paul reminds Timothy of this because it's another opportunity for us to say, when we're in the middle of difficult times, to say that other people have lived lives of faith. And I might not know what they've gone through. And I don't know if they went through what I'm going through. But they kept that faith. So I think maybe I can too. Knowing that we have a heritage of faith, knowing that our faith came from somewhere other than just ourselves and our contemporaries, can be a real encouragement to us that what we're going through is something that we can make it through. And if we look at this sermon title, if we look at this idea that our faith comes from somewhere, the unstated balance of that statement is that it's going somewhere. In the same way that those who went before us, the Lois and Eunices of our lives, in the same way that they gave us an example, in the same way that they spoke to us about things that matter to faith, we have a responsibility to take that and pass it on. Perhaps not in exactly the same way they did, because we're different than them, but we have a responsibility to take what we've been given and pass it on. And it's not just about faith. That's how we feel about everything. We feel we have a responsibility to hand on to our children lives that matter, in whatever way that looks. Whether that's something as concrete as an inheritance, or as non-concrete, but perhaps even more important, a sense of their heritage, what kind of people they come from. But we also have a responsibility to pass on the faith that we've received. It came from somewhere and was poured into us under the impetus of the Holy Spirit that made us open to this faith in the first place, wherever it came from. But it wasn't poured into us that it might stop. We're not the dam at the end of a stream. Or a bunch of streams. As a bunch of streams came together into the river of faith that we have, we're not supposed to put a dam somewhere so it doesn't go any further. We're supposed to let it flow freely, that it might go into other people. Our faith came from somewhere. It came from people who are willing to share themselves, their lives, sometimes their words, sometimes simply their actions and their behaviors. But they were willing to share, and we must be willing to share also. I find it very encouraging that Paul held out Timothy's mother and grandmother as examples of where this might have come from. Because what it says is that unless Lois and Eunice were very unusual people, I can't imagine that they sat down Timothy regularly and lectured him on the faith. I can't imagine they treated him like an evangelistic project. I can't imagine that they used only words to speak to him about things that matter. I'd be surprised if they did any of those things, really. What this reminds us of is that when we live the lives of faith that we have, making mistakes, having victories, having defeats, having all of the messy stuff of life, but we have all of that as people of faith, living our lives can have an effect on those around us. Sometimes we're called to speak to people. If they're strangers who, for whatever reason, we're interacting with them about spiritual things, usually we have to talk about it. But so much of our influence is just by what we do. Timothy grew up watching Eunice and Lois, watching his mother and his grandmother, and seeing things that he thought he wanted. He grew up watching them saying, those are the kind of people I want to be like. Not because they're perfect, not because their lives were without difficulty. I don't know what their difficulties were, but I'm sure they had them. But Timothy saw that and said, I want to be like that. And by him being like that, he then moves on and passes that set of actions, that way of being, to everyone around him. Now, Timothy, I think, had a call upon him as a preacher, as an evangelist. I'm sure that he did more than live the sermon of his life. I think he preached sermons as well. But if he never would have, if that wasn't his call, if that wasn't his gifting, he would have done everything God asked him to do by living a life much like the life that he saw in his mother and his grandmother. We're called to be people who demonstrate the faith we have, who pay attention to it, who care for it. If we look towards the end of our reading this morning, Paul tells Timothy, what you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. What we've received is something of value that we need to pay attention to, and we need to guard it, not in the sense that we keep it to ourselves, but that we don't let it disappear, that we don't mistreat that deposit of faith that's within us. This doesn't mean that we have to turn into our parents, or whoever it is that we think of when we think of someone who's gone ahead of us in the faith. What it says is that we need to be the kind of people whose life lines up with what they say. That what we believe affects what we do. That when people follow us around, whether it's our children who see so much more than maybe we wish they would, our co-workers, our neighbors, our friends, our acquaintances, strangers who see us doing whatever it is that we do. We need to live lives that are faithful to the faith within us, that are faithful to the heritage that we've received. From one set of hands to another, from failing hands we pass this torch. Poet says, we take from one generation and give to another. All that's important to us, we have a responsibility to give to the next. And the nice thing is that this responsibility isn't to be discharged by large, painful efforts. We need to be Lois and Eunice. We need to be parents. I'm sure they had friends. I'm sure they had relatives. We need to be who we are in this connection, so that our faith that came from somewhere doesn't stop with us, but continues. How that continues for most of us is in a very low-key kind of way, but we live out our faith and we keep it moving on. Paul didn't write this letter to Timothy just for Timothy. We don't know exactly how the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for Scripture works. But what we see in this passage is a reminder for us to look to the sources of our faith, to hold carefully what they have provided for us, and to be as willing as they were to be generous with it and to share it. Amen.